Well, hey there, Sean. Hey there, Laurel.
Hey, John. How's
it
going?
Hey, John.
Oh, it's going. How are you guys?
Oh, man, I'm stoked. Can't wait to do a podcast.
You know, I was kind of thinking it's been such a quiet news week. Maybe we take the week off of podcasting.
Yeah, I'm not really sure we need to do an episode.
Whoa. Hard disagree, guys. Hard disagree.
What do you want to talk about, Sean?
Okay, so look, I listened to your podcast last week. It was great. You guys covered a lot of ground, but you know, I feel like much as you would maybe find the day after Thanksgiving, there's a lot of news meat left on the bone.
Like what?
Okay, so you talked about the governor's first press conference after the election. He covered a lot of ground there. I mean, you didn't get into all of it. And
okay.
Then, you know, this week, Congressman Mark Pocan held a press conference. He covered a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm.
We could maybe even talk about what Governor-elect Tony Evers has said.
All right. Sounds like it could be delicious. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's have another helping of tasty news meat.
That's good. I feel like that was
a good one.
Yeah, that was like a solid one.
All right, guys. Well, let's dig into some giblets here.
It's really news meat is a very strange term, but
I like it.
But you kind of get what we're getting at there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's still some juicy cuts of news left to be had.
Yeah.
So, Sean, like, what's your old man, Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief, expert lead type opinion on the stuff that we didn't cover in the Walker?
Oh my gosh!
In the Walker.
You guys are so mean to me
professor.
Sometimes.
No, I'm like genuinely intrigued.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about, Mr. Boss Man?
What do you want to talk about?
Look, okay, I set it up. You covered a lot of things because the governor said a lot of things. Yeah. But here's what struck me about the governor. In that press conference, is he basically went on about like how he'd accomplished so much and we did everything. What else is there to do? That's sort of the tenor of most of the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point in the press conference, he gets asked about this idea floating around in the legislature to move the date of Wisconsin's spring election and decouple it from the presidential primary, which occurs in April. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a big move. And here, remember, we just heard the governor say, basically, I've done it all. But here's what he said when asked about that possibility.
Those are one of the things we'll look at. I mean, the bottom line is I was in county government. I always thought it was odd that those of us who were in nonpartisan office were on the ballot at the same time as there were partisan elections. It just seems like there's a disconnect to that. I don't know exactly what they're going to propose, if anything, there. But I just know as a local official, that was always something that was odd.
So the governor's saying, I've done it all. There's really nothing else to do. However, he sounded extremely receptive there to that idea of changing an election date in potentially the last month that he holds office.
I think he sort of framed it, though, as a small change, which is how he was talking about a lot of the things that might come up in the special session, sort of like this is a small, reasonable, technical little thing that we might do. Here's this just sort of like thing that I noticed was kind of odd in the past. And so we might consider changing that. I think it's a very much kind of nothing to see here.
I mean, you even look at the language, like what's a nonpartisan election versus a presidential primary election? What's going on here? But there's some implications in there that might not meet the eye.
Right. I don't think Democrats in Wisconsin, for example, think that this is a small little thing that's just sort of cleaning up something that you've always kind of thought was odd before you leave office. They think of it as more kind of politically motivated, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so a little context here. Right now, there is a 4-3 conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Justice Shirley Abrahamson, one of the court's three liberals, is retiring. And there is an election for her seat in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So for Democrats, you have any hope at flipping the court, they would have to hold that seat. Then there's another election in spring of 2020. And that is for Justice Dan Kelly, who was appointed to the court by Governor Walker. This will be Justice Kelly's first election. Mm-hmm. So the way it's set up right now, Justice Kelly's election would be held on the same day as the presidential primary. And right now, you presume there's not going to be a primary opponent for President Donald Trump, but there's a chance there would be a Democratic primary and that Wisconsin could, in April, still be relevant. And if that were the case, you could potentially get big Democratic turnout, and that could spill over into that state Supreme Court race. Could benefit Democrats.
So the state Supreme Court race, just to clarify, is a nonpartisan race. That's the nonpartisan of what we're talking about here, even though ideologically speaking, there is a pretty clear-cut difference between candidates and which judges the different sides want to vote for.
Yeah, these judicial races have become increasingly partisan over the past several years, right, Sean? That's something that old man Sean Johnson can weigh in. Like the even just the time that you've been around in state politics,
today.
Which
Laurel's
is
the one who keeps picking swipes.
The blink of an eye.
We're going to have a drinking game where every time you guys say old man Sean Johnson, no, don't do that because you'd all be very...
Yeah, we're invested in your health out there in podcast land. But
be careful.
These technically nonpartisan races have become more political in recent years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no doubt if you listen to the candidates, which one's the Republican, which one's the Democrat. In fact, the parties themselves have come out and supported these candidates in recent elections. So that mystique, if there used to be some of that mystique, it's gone.
So the thinking, at least from the Democratic side, is that by decoupling these elections, you would possibly have a lot lower turnout for the nonpartisan state Supreme Court race and thus give an advantage to Dan Kelly, who's the person that the conservatives voters would want to win.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The incumbent, Yeah.
Yeah. And they also say...
And low turnout elections generally tend to favor Republicans, right?
I would say that these state Supreme Court races, aside from this year, have generally favored Republicans. They know they have been. They are typically low turnout races, and Republicans know how to get their people out for these. And the other thing the Democrats mention is that, Walker didn't have any problem with this in 2016, when we had active primaries on both sides. You had Hillary Clinton still campaigning against Bernie Sanders, and then you had Donald Trump still running against Ted Cruz and John Kasich. Doing a lot of hand gestures here as I try to remember John Kasich. I had to do a big arm wave to get that name, but I got it.
Many moons ago that happened.
I did. I mean, there was some, we didn't know which primary was going to be the more competitive primary until it happened, but an increased enthusiasm on the Republican side translated to about 100,000 vote margin for Justice Rebecca Bradley, the conservative choice in that election. So sometimes, these primary elections can help one party not the other. In this case, it's a possibility that it would help Democrats.
It's all about getting those people to the polls. And we know that presidential elections do that, presidential primaries and general elections. So if there's a state Supreme Court race on the ballot at the same time, it's going to see a heftier voter turnout. So that's basically what this comes down to and what races people are coming out for, whether it's Republican or Democrat, and how that might help the Republican or Democratic linked state Supreme Court justice candidate.
And I think, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
And I think it's particularly interesting with Walker. I think it's interesting with Walker because it was just this year that he was saying just repeatedly that he didn't want to hold a special election in June because it would be a waste of taxpayer money. He's talking about adding in another election in 2019 or 2020.
Yeah, and I'm sure you noticed when you listened to the audio of that press conference that's something reporters asked him about. Like, hey, you've expressed concern about having additional elections in the past. These special elections and the cost of them was something that really concerned you. Why is that not something that concerns you now when you talk about essentially creating another election by splitting off the state Supreme Court race? And he just kind of answered the original question instead of that one and just said, oh, you know, I like the tape that we played earlier. I've just always thought it was kind of odd. So he didn't really weigh in on the cost element of it, which I'm sure if this does come up in the legislature during the special session, as we think it might, that's going to be a big part of the debate, I would imagine, the cost of this.
Yeah, we've heard from the thing I was going to say, the words I was going to speak were about how we've heard from some county clerks about this after the governor made those comments, and they, at least a few of them, are sort of cool to this idea, saying, you know, we really don't want to do this. This would mean we would have three elections in 3 months here. And really, we can only focus on one election at a time, and this would spread our resources pretty thin.
Well, I found that discussion very filling, but I'd like some more. do you want to talk about some more news meat?
Yes, please.
Okay. How about this press conference this week from Mark Pocan, congressman from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, who held his first big post-election press conference and covered a lot of ground. Are you interested?
I'm interested, and I'll tell you why. Because, so Congressman Pocan has had these press conferences for a while, just sort of check-ins with Wisconsin reporters where he can say what's going on in D.C. and everything. But as long as I've been around and he's been doing these press conferences, Democrats have been in the minority, in Congress. So this was the first time that Pocan sat down with Wisconsin reporters with Democrats in the majority. So he just has kind of a different, standing or something.
Yeah, he is suddenly very relevant, you know, compared to before. I mean, you would go to these things before and expect to hear Congressman Pocan maybe throw some rhetorical bombs, I guess is the phrase that comes to mind, where it's his duty to be sort of the loyal opposition. Now, man, he's going to be in the majority, and so everybody wants to ask him about the race for U.S. House Speaker. Congressman Pocan did not say who he was going to support, but he did say odds are that Nancy Pelosi will be the next speaker. To me, you don't say odds are somebody's going to be the next speaker if you're planning to vote for someone else. But he hasn't announced it yet, but that was a nice little tip of the – what's that? A tell. He's a magician. I'm trying to think. Is that – that's his tell?
Oh, poker, I thought you said. Dude. I thought you said.
Poker.
I thought you said towel. I was like, I believe it's a tip of a hat, not a tip of a towel. I don't.
A tip of a towel. This is a little corner of a towel.
Oh, jeez. I need to get better at my little cliches. There. I need to be able to access them when I need them. Okay, so Pocan, Congressman Pocan, also talks about state politics because, of course, he used to serve in the state legislature, and he has some thoughts on what Republican legislators are talking about doing with these special election dates, taking away gubernatorial powers, stuff like that. Pocan, by the way, is friends with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. So here's a little sample of what Congressman Pocan had to say about what's going on in Wisconsin government.
You know, Republicans in the legislature need to be the people that I know they are. I mean, any of you know I'm good friends with Robin. Robin's a better person than what he's putting out there right now, and I hope that he will have a serious reflection of that maybe over Thanksgiving. My real fear is that he's going to get, because Robin is very smart, he's always playing three moves ahead of most of the other people in the room, and I think, you know, a lot of this could still be about gerrymandering and redistricting. I'm really, really concerned. And if he does that, I'll come back and fight him very hard on this.
Whoa there, giving us a lot to chew on. That's a lot of news meat.
that's some kind of intense things to say about a good friend of yours, that he needs to reflect on his choices.
It was, yeah. To be in a room full of reporters and say that my friend needs to, quote, be better.
He's a better person than this. So I think it's interesting. Like, I think we should draw the little connecting lines between the special session stuff and redistricting, because redistricting isn't going to happen until 2021. So how could the special session that they are going to have sometime in the next like month and a half affect redistricting that's like years away?
And I don't know. And in fact,
but we have kind of an idea potentially of what could happen.
I'm not sure. So right now, what happened in 2011 is that Republicans passed a redistricting plan and Governor Scott Walker signed it and it became law. And that is the map that's been in place ever since and has helped Republicans, you know, cement their majorities over this past decade. So if they get to do that, if you had a Republican legislature in 2021, they would pass this map. It would go to, as it stands right now, it would go to Governor Evers, and I'm going to predict he would veto that map. So what Pocan is saying is that there could be some way for Republicans to restrict the power of a governor over redistricting, right? I don't know how that's possible. I'm not saying it's not. I just don't know how it's possible.
The only way that I know that they could would be to restrict the governor's veto power, which is a very complicated process in Wisconsin. It would have to pass two consecutive sessions of the state legislature. So,
and then be approved by voters.
So if say they hold on to Republican majorities for this year and the following year, then they could pass it twice, but then it would have to get through voters.
Could that all happen before 2021?
They
could pass it theoretically in December and then come back and pass it again, like first thing in the next year's session, and then put it before voters in April potentially. I admire you for thinking outside the box on this.
Outside the box on that.
I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of that would be directly relevant to redistricting.
Yeah.
In terms of what could happen in this special session. But.
So, interesting food for thought there.
I see what you did there.
Mostly, I also... it's also interesting when you get a little window into a personal dispute between two longtime friends and political adversaries.
Has Voss said anything in response to that so far?
I haven't heard anything yet, no. I mean, I asked his office for a comment, and they did not comment that day. Fitzgerald's office said, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald's office said there are no plans to do that right now. But plans change, so keep an eye on that. Anything having to do with redistricting in this coming extraordinary session is what they said.
Got it.
What if it's a special session then, I would ask? I don't know.
The difference is extraordinary session is called by legislative leaders, special session is called by the governor.
Yeah, and this extraordinary has to deal with stuff that's already passed one house of the legislature, whereas a special...
can be totally new.
Yep.
So what's our last helping of gosh, I don't even want to say it, news meat for this podcast buffet.
We're going to regret ever seeing news meat and recording
it. It's going to be my nightmares, just somebody replaying audio of me saying news meat,
news meat.
Anyway, so Governor-elect Tony Evers was who we were going to talk about.
Oh, yeah, because Governor Walker gave us a bunch to chew on, and so did Congressman Pocan. So what does Governor-elect Tony Evers have to say about all these efforts to restrict his powers? Well, here is what he had to say about it recently when asked whether there was kind of a red line that Republicans could cross.
It's hard to say. I'm looking forward to having discussions with the legislative leaders and maybe even before the session starts to kind of see what exactly they mean by curtailing those powers. So I'm not in a position right now to say there's a red line or a line in the sand.
I'm still kind of hungry. You know,
like I'm left wanting more news meat.
I thought I had another serving of news meat there, but...
Doesn't Governor-elect Evers know that news requires conflict? He's not
serving it up.
He's not serving up that conflict there, is he?
No. I mean, we still do stories about what Governor-elect Evers says, because he's governor-elect. Mm-hmm. Whatever he says now, that's what's for dinner. but what I've been struck by so far from Governor-elect Evers is that he is not, like, getting into a fight mm-hmm. with... As Republicans are talking about restricting his power, he's not going out there and saying, you know, the people have spoken, this is outrageous, or he's not engaging in that right now. Mm-hmm. That's basically what he said thus far is, you know, I got to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty consistent for him. I mean, when we've asked him to weigh in on, like, Kimberly-Clark, the tax incentives package, he said, I don't feel like I know enough about it to really weigh in. That's kind of his standard line on things that are in the special session right now. Like, I'm just not enough up to speed to sort of have a strong position, which is unique for a governor of the opposing party to not kind of push back on maybe some of these proposals. I mean, we've seen Democrats in the legislature certainly getting pretty upset about them. The legislative leaders there. But Governor-elect Evers definitely isn't putting out the same strong signals.
Not combative at all.
Yeah. You know, I would like to say just sort of like a caveat. Caveat? I feel like I've had trouble saying this on the podcast before.
We've had this very conversation before, I'm
anyway,
sure.
Whatever, however
I
you,
say caveat. How,
however you say that word. He had a strong statement that was like, this is a blatant power grab or something like that. Remember?
His campaign, the statements from his campaign or probably mm-hmm. now his transition team mm-hmm. are strong.
Yeah.
They're like, this is an abuse of power.
Yeah.
But when you hear it from Tony Evers' mouth, I need to see more. We need to talk about this mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, I've really enjoyed supping with you on this delicious feast of news meat.
Sorry to snort in the microphone there. Something about that phrase.
You just can't. We need to bring supping back.
Yeah, we do.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laura White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Imagine what you could do with new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week. I mean, it's great on sandwiches, obviously, and in salads, but you can also put it in soups, stir fries, curries, and all you have to do to get it is subscribe on iTunes. You can also find the show on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps, and you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.